the Gatorhead, we're forever indebted to Gatorhead to finding it. It's probably Ringo Starr, some fucking guy, a top executive in the music industry who has all this stuff because he worked for Adam Erdogan. Zappa's kid's named after him. So there's Dweezil, Ahmet Erdogan. Somebody who recorded all these black guys and ripped them off. He's got all these records and he's listening and he's telling, oh, that's Johnny Day. He knows Johnny Day. So there's proof we got super executives, elite listening to us. They're helping us. We're the only entertainment left for those old decrepit, decapitated, decadent people. We remember when the mothers had lovers. What's Garrett's line? When the fields had vegetables?
We're their only hope.
That's tremendous. Johnny Day, D-A-Y-E. All those guys came out of church.
They're
just good singers.
Yeah.
They're from the school of Vestal Goodman. They're from Vestal Goodman. Mm-hmm. You know, at the Cape, you want to put mute, Carol? At the Cambridge thing, there was remember the black woman who sang songs?
Yeah.
Was the featured singer? Well, I get talking to her after, and I started telling her that all her stuff came from the white person, Vessel Goodman, man. Was she pissed off at me? I said, you know, you guys are all influenced by Vessel Goodman. She goes, who? I said, Vessel Goodman. She started all I said, J.W. told me this. He knows. Who's J.W.? Oh, it's a long story. You don't want to know. But I tell you, he knows. And he told me that Vessel Goodman influenced all the black singers in the 50s and 60s. And she's looking at me. She eventually walks away, disgusted. So I started the race war that broke out in Ferguson a few months later.
And this is why I never...
That's why they're fucking beating it. Somebody claimed that Vessel Goodman started on music. No fucking way.
And this is why I have hidden Bob safely on Maui and try not to bring him to any event.
Yeah, that's right. Bob just starts talking innocently about his view of reality.
Wow.
This is the Frank Zappa era. You grew up in the Frank Zappa. Who? Frank Zappa? I never heard of him. Well, he's the guy who did it all. You know, when I used to play ball hockey with these kids, Carol, one of the guys, he figured out I had a radio show or something, and I don't know if he ever heard it, but he said to a friend many years later, he said, it was like my last time playing with him before I went to New York, and he says, Bob has a radio show where he knows everything that nobody knows anything about. That's how I have a radio show where I tell everybody what they don't know about. He knows everything that nobody knows about. Which was true. But maybe he said it a little differently, but it was that idea.
Well,
that,
it's still true.
That Bob gets on there and tells everybody stuff they never heard of.
You know everything about stuff that nobody knows
and
anything
about. I have the extension of that.
Exactly.
He says there's three Jesus. He can't prove any of it. He's turned me into an art form. He's developed me, extended it. He says more preposterous things than I ever said. Well, thank you, Mr. Gatorhead.
Yeah, Ian is always trying to outdo you. It's true.
Hey, wait a minute. Nicky Hopkins. Isn't that one of the guys who played the piano for the Rolling Stones? I may be right. There's somebody giving a clue right here. I'm going to look up Nicky Hopkins. And if it is Nicky Hopkins or someone, they have to be very impressed with me catching that because nobody else here knows this.
Nicky
Hopkins. Yeah, in the chat, there's a guy called Nicky Hopkins.
In the chat. Yeah.
There it is. Look at this. Right.
He's
fucking,
he
who the fuck would call himself Nicky Hopkins? Nicky Hopkins died in 1994, born in February 44, was an English pianist and organist. Hopkins recorded and performed on many notable British and American pop and rock music releases from the 60s through the 80s to the 90s, including many Rolling Stones songs. He's the main guy. He's like Leon Russell. He's the British Leon Russell.
So his illegitimate son is on the chat giving out the details.
Our What Youth program, we're getting the influential kids of the next generation. They're fucking knowing Bob's the guru we you hang out with. Bob is so fucking cool.
Bob.
Look at that. Nikki Hopkins. That's fucking pretty incredible. I haven't thought of Nikki in years. I fucked his son once. You know, that was when Carolyn didn't show up, so I got mad. Grabbed the nearest 10-year-old. Turned out to be Nikki's kid. Nikki didn't mind. He was corrupt. He was a heroin addict.
Gave him an earful.
Yeah, I gave him an earful of cum.
Oh.
Oh, wait a minute. Gatorhead. Gatorhead is on the line. Hey, let's see who he is. Let's turn out to be Kiggy. If it's fucking Kiggy. Oh, look, Roxy's back. Roxy's back here to hear the final, whatever it is we're doing. Hello.
Hi, Roxanne Berlin.
Is this Nikki Hopkins?
Hello.
Hi, Roxanne Berlin.
Hi.
Oh, this guy wants to talk to Roxanne. This is Nikki Hopkins.
Hey, Bob, I'm Gatorhead.
Okay.
Bob, I'm Gatorhead.
Do we
you wouldn't believe it. If I told you the whack job that I am, and you've heard me on the radio before, you wouldn't believe it. You said some nice things about Gatorhead. You would never say anything that respectful to Zimbabwe, I don't think.
Yes, Jim. Who was Zimbabwe? I remember the name. When was that? 6 months ago? Who's Zimbabwe?
Zimbabwe from New Jersey or New York.
Right,
Pennsylvania.
Right, right.
You're close. Is this Eliza?
Oh, you mean Jim? Jim from Pennsylvania? Yeah, that's Zimbabwe. It's Jim.
Jim, I got a question for Eliza. Eliza,
well, wait
do
a minute.
You really
are you Jim? Are you Jim?
Yes, Bob, I am.
Yeah,
I found the song, and I'm
going to mute you. Jim, he 6 months ago would send me all kinds of songs. I never played them, and I never had the chance to see how Jim survived that, and he never came back. Did you were insulted, Jim, that I never played your songs?
No, how could I be insulted by Bob Dobbs? My God, I was instructed. I feel like I have no musical taste, or at least the taste that I obtained from the personality that I put on 79-ish going into 1980, and maybe going through to 1986. I developed some kind of taste for music that I thought was hip, was right. And who are you, Bob Dobbs, to say, oh, wow, IGY by that guy from Fleetwood Mac, that's not a cool song. What a beautiful day it would be.
I said that.
What a glorious time to be free.
See, Jim's the guy who a year ago came on and performed, but he thought he was too drunk and was totally humiliated, and he never called back. Remember that? He called back once to apologize for being drunk. And
I remember.
Self-conscious about it. You were too self. But Jim went to the Garrick Theater and saw Zappa, or missed him. Which did you do? Did you see Zappa at Garrick, or you missed him?
I saw it twice. Like the beginning of July, and maybe once I found out that they were there for the whole summer, I just grabbed my friend from high school and said, hey, if we go to this place at this time, we will see the Mothers of Invention, the ones whose songs we've been singing as we walk down the hallways of our high school.
Wow, yeah, in 67, that's right. So, so you stopped sending me songs because you realized I wasn't playing them?
Well, I kind of lost interest in music, except here are the songs I would send you at this moment, Bob Dobbs. I would send you, it was around 1955, my uncle brought us the 45, to know him is to love him.
Now, Dylan did that on Self-Portrait or something. Dylan did that. You know that?
Well, he's been doing the American Songbook.
What?
Dylan's been doing the American Songbook. I mean, you saw him on Letterman. What do you call that? That's the American Songbook.
Right. What did you think of the way he walked away from the mic and then walked back? Like trying to do humorous body language or something.
I think he still takes amphetamine.
It's so funny. You got to see, Carol, he walks away from the mic and, with his eternal frown, and then he sort of walks
back. I've got 2.3 seconds before my vocal comes. I think I'll walk away for 2.3 seconds.
Yeah. He does this weird, he leaves the microphone when he's...
and then he does it again, Bob. Remember,
he
repeats it.
He won't commit himself to anything.
Now, one of the preachers on the side said, "Get back out there! Get back out there!"
Yeah, Dylan, he hadn't been on TV for 20 years, they said. And so he did a few fucking mumbles, and they started to walk off. They forced him to go back.
Yeah.
We should find that video.
And Bob, you mentioned his sullen expression. You know where that sullen expression came from? The cover of the Rolling Stones album, 12 by 5. If you look at the expressions on those Rolling Stones, he not only copied it, he latched onto it and held onto it in the long run, for the duration.
Yeah, he must have had an epiphany on one of his heroin trips and thought that was the archetypal, you know, Mount Rushmore look. And he kept it.
If you look at the PBS documentary, he definitely felt that he was someone who knew something that most people didn't know.
That's right. And do you know that Ion says that he comes from the Zimmermans, and the Zimmermans are an oligarchic Illuminati 418 group family, and they placed Dylan in there so that they have their family name in the global coming archive. That's what Ion says about the Zimmerman family.
Well, they're very firmly planted, if that's the case.
Yeah, because so Dylan has a superiority complex. He really can't mingle, it seems. And here he has a pool hall place in Santa Monica, and he under a hood will play pool among the people there. But he's generally, there's a guy, famous filmmaker, he dated Dylan's daughter or something, and he said that Dylan would sit there on the ranch fence while this guy moved his stuff around in and out of the house, and Dylan wouldn't move one inch to help him. He just sat there scowling. I mean, he's very, very. People say, you know, I like Dylan, but I don't want to meet him. But the thing is the best looking of Dylan is when he's interviewed about 1965, and I think it's in Los Angeles, and he's it's a good video, black and white TV. And that's when they say to him, and he has this sort of sly, smiling eyes, and he's putting on everybody, and they say, "What's the one thing that would upset you? You don't seem to be concerned about anything." And he goes, "If everyone disappeared."
Yeah, because we couldn't worship you, we couldn't adore you, we couldn't just say you're the greatest thing, and look at that great photo on your album with the girl, and
what you gotta watch, here's what you gotta watch. There's a series, they're starting these series, I forget what they're called, where they go like 29, there's one on Beefheart, one on The Mother's Invention. They go about 18 parts on YouTube, and it's so like Dylan Examined. And it goes through every album and all the people involved. And in the 80s, he's a total wreck. He can't do anything. And he goes, like, six albums are a disaster. And they have the people working on it. It's all exposed. It's all laid out. He's saved by the guy from Hamilton, Ontario, Daniel Lanois. He saves Dylan and comes up with something. But Dylan had admitted years ago that he did not know why he was singing, like from early, after he got out of the Christian thing, say from 82 to 89, he says, I would sing my songs. They didn't mean anything to me. I didn't know what I was singing until I heard the Grateful Dead singing them, and they put life into it, and then I knew how to sing it, and that's why he's been doing the Endless Tour. He found his voice, he claims. And sometimes he does perform okay, but most of the time he's a fucking dirge. I mean, it's ridiculous how he's bootlegs. Bob Fast plays him all the time.
The endless bootleg.
Yeah.
When you find out a lot
about him, he's a highly suspect character. They say he had a couple of black chorus girls who were terrible singers, and one of them screwed up the music for years, and he never let her go because she was the mother of one of his kids.
Of course she was.
Yeah, and they say he ran his chorus like a harem. And remember, he went and visited Zappa in the middle of all this.
Well, God, when you got the power, why not flaunt it?
No.
I mean, you ought to know something about power.
No,
come on. You got a different demeanor.
No matter what.
Huh?
You must be a saint.
You have to be a saint at all times?
Made you say, huh?
So,
yeah, you did.
Who was the mother of the Dylan son that asked me to consult with him on website health project?
Well, I wouldn't know the mother. Mm. Wait a minute. You mean the only one? You mean Sarah? You actually, Sarah talked to you?
The
famous
son.
Oh, well, what are you saying about the mother? You're asking who the mother is.
The mother of the son.
The famous Sarah, the one that left him in the late 70s.
Oh.
And they used to
say, is she the one on that cover?
Oregon Park.
Is she on the album cover?
Did you meet him, Carol?
Oh, yeah, I hung out with him. And
Dylan's son.
Dylan's son, very nice guy, great, very nice wife. They were all into health and wanted me to consult with them on how to go about doing a website, and I blew it all for them because I said they didn't have enough about alternatives. You know, they knew about alternatives, but they wanted.
So you disagreed with what they were doing.
I know. I always work myself out of a job.
Yeah, you don't want to work.
Yeah, but how do you call that? I blew it.
I blew it in terms of traditionally getting a job, making money, going to work every day.
Get to hang out with Bob Dylan.
With Bob Dylan's son. Meet Bob Dylan. Go to dinner with him. Get frowned upon.
Not tell them about her husband. Not tell
Bring
them
Bob
that her
Bob.
Husband looks like Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan ripped off my fucking face, as you can see that picture. Right?
Another
you
missed
look better than him.
Oh yeah,
there's a lie on the
like
line.
Mick Jagger, Bob Dylan, and Jim Morrison, all wrapped in one.
His son.
Well, you know, I think Jim Morrison was good.
What'd you say?
Sorry.
His sons are named Jim.
I like Jim Morrison's look, and I like your look, and I can see how it could be an amalgamation. Maybe I don't know.
No,
maybe.
Yeah, you go on the Facebook, and I post it, and people, without me prompting, start saying, holy shit, it's Mick Jagger. They started.
So if I don't have Facebook, there's no way I can look into this, right? I have to have Facebook,
right.
or I can. It is banned to me.
Well, it's in one of Roxy's the YouTubes.
Oh, so I might see it by accident, subliminally.
At the end of the long one, the Remedios Varos, I think it is. Is that right, Roxy? The Remedios two-hour one is... ends with my photo?
I think it's in the middle because I pasted the both videos.
Right.
But I can make a new one with the photo.
Yeah, but just focus. Like they do, they have one picture, and you listen to music for 3 minutes, and you all just show the picture for 3 minutes.
I'll take a few minutes just with that picture.
Hey, listen. Yeah, take this conversation we're having right now and make that the content for the picture.
I have a message for Roxana or Lukenbach, whatever she's going by these days.
Yeah, what's your message? You have to go through me. Give it to me, and then I'll hand it on to her.
All right, Bob, I'm glad I handed it to you. I understand that your videos will now be 22 minutes.
Yes.
And that's it. 0 seconds. I understand that, Roxana. I understand it perfectly.
It's just a practical thing. I realize people watch the shorter ones most and the longer ones, so it's just also practical.
Yeah,
I think it's sometimes Bob goes into such complexity that it's easier to concentrate just for a while and digest that and then go to
right,
the next...
Are these every video, not just for McLuhan's novel? This is every video, right? Every video from now on.
Well, now I think I'm going to move to the new channel, and I'm going to start correcting the old ones, and then we'll just post everything there.
in the new channels, McLuhan's novel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That'd be great if you corrected the original ones. But you're up to like 80 videos now.
Yes, I don't know.
Hey, you ought to, on I and Bob, Ed posted access to the Buzz Kosin videos. If you've never seen those, go look at them. They're pretty. The early ones are really good. He did a lot of neat stuff in 2008, 2009, and you just click and you go into My Place. They're not on YouTube. You go into the 5body.com server, and they're all laid out there. There's like 100 of them or something, maybe a couple hundred. They might bounce an idea off you. And what else? So the video, yes, but people like Gene and Sarah, have you seen the Remedios Varos, an hour and 52 minutes epic? Have you watched that?
I have.
No, I don't think I've seen an hour and 52 minute one.
Yeah,
no, I've come close.
What's it called? The medium?
I have a message.
Or something? Hold it, Jim. Hold it. What?
Yes, it's the one in which you are talking about the Sixtine Chapel.
Yeah, but what's the title? Isn't it the medium message number 5, or is that another series? No, Shelf. It's Shelf Portrait, it's called. Shelf Portrait.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
Shelf Portrait
has all the Remedios Varos.
Yes.
It's a great variety of Remedios Varos throughout the entire video.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. With occasional Ion playing the Coldplay sound.
Well, that goes without saying, of course.
Yeah, no, it's excellent. And when you start looking at her work, it's the best response to Ion's definition of the universe. And I just did a special hour and 20 minutes on surrealism with Dennis Young, and he tells a history, the background I've never heard before. It's incredible. This is one of his best performances.
Dennis,
Freud,
you just did that, Bob?
Influence. What?
I'm sorry, you said you just did one with Dennis Young?
Yeah, on Friday, so it would be posted soon.
Have you got Dennis on the drops?
No, he's interested in it, but I don't think he's got around to doing it. Or he did take the sample, or I don't know.
Hmm. Hey, can I say something about the drops?
Yeah?
I'd like to say something about the drops. For people who are on a budget, so to speak, you can find it very empowering to get one bottle of RNA drops, the smaller size. And just remember, there's 900 drops in the bottle. So you can actually feel like you're a little bit like wealthy by taking drops twice a day. Sure, it's only 5 drops in the morning, 5 drops in the afternoon, but yeah, you're taking RNA drops twice a day.
Yeah. And you're saying take 2 a day, 2 at a time?
Well, for the last 3 months, Bob, it'll give you the illusion maybe.
Right.
In an errant way, but you got 3 months at least.
Yeah, and that's good. You're saying the sample bottle, if you stretch it out.
No, now I'm talking about the bigger bottle. The sample bottle, the standard RNA drops. Because the sample bottle only has 90 drops. You don't want the sample bottle, you want the bottle. And that has 900 drops, and if you tell yourself you're going to make it last 3 months. Why, damn it, you can do it.
Okay, and yeah, you pay $99, but it's worth it.
So for a guy like Daniel Libby, who's like, he thinks he's going on the edge by mentioning that he might take 10 drops per day. Oh, my God. I'm like, man, I'm right on Libby's frontier. I'm on Libby's frontier every day.
How many drops are you taking?
Well, I'm going on hiatus.
But what were you doing? I don't get the point here. Are you you doing 10 drops?
You caught me at a bad time. I'm sorry, you caught me at a bad time.
No, no, you're talking for your limitations. Forget that. How many drops did you get to?
10 a day.
Twice a day.
And it might end for, yeah, I know, I'm sorry. Only 5? twice a day.
Five twice a day, and that lasts 3 months. I see.
I think
and
you can
so,
do
yeah,
it.
Daniel.
I think.
Okay, we got. It's a good point. Carolyn is giving you a high five here.
Okay, Carolyn, how about this? I found a way to make Remag last and Relight last a full month, and you might trick yourself into thinking, hey, I went a month and 5, 7 days. Cool, I'm good. So this is what I do. Just every time you pour yourself a glass of water, put one squirt of Remag in and one squirt of Relight in. Get your powdered Calm. Get a half a teaspoon, shake it down, make it like a level teaspoon, a half a teaspoon, and mix that in and sip it throughout the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why use Calm?
Well, because I'm on a budget, Bob, and I want to add to my magnesium without taking from the Remag bottle.
Hmm. So, yeah, I tell people to mix different ones together, take Epsom salts baths, get magnesium however they will. But, you know, I did...
Other question.
Hang on, Jim. I did the calculations on the when you look at the absorption of Remag compared to Natural Calm, and you have, you know, way higher absorption with Remag. So in the end, for your, you know, money-wise, you're getting a better deal with Remag. It's just people look at the surface amounts and prices. But the fact that Natural Calm will cause a laxative effect means that it's only maybe 20% absorbed. So that was my calculation.
I remember that 20%, and yeah, you're probably right on that.
Have you got any testimonial? What have the drops done for you in the Remag? You got any improvements?
Oh, I'm one of those persons, one of those people Madeline talks about. People who are negative, who take the drops. So, in the words of Ion, if you're a bitcher, this makes you a better bitcher. In other words,
you're better
being negative now. Negative now, so I'll take these RNA drops, which enhance what I am, and become more negative. And maybe I'm making
that's
my
just
own
New
kind
that's
of
New Jersey consciousness. New Jersey
polish,
very bad
loop. And now all of a sudden you're breaking up, and I can't make out a word you're saying. So good for me,
weird.
Right?
Can you?
I think you said it's weird.
Yeah,
but I mean it's so distorted.
That's the electric environment taking on your bitchiness and bitching back at you.
Yeah, you're talking to yourself.
You know, you're talking smack.
I might have picked up from Carolyn that I'm putting this out, and I am my own
victim. Yeah.
Pick that one up.
Yeah, you synchronistically created backlash of negativity by talking about your negativity and arguing for your limitations. So just speak the words of praise of yourself and Bob.
Yeah, just say slack flows freely and easily to me. Always. That's all you say.
Let me tell you from this side, the communication is incredible. Carolyn is completely musical. The only thing I have to go by is her intonation. I cannot make out a single word she is saying, and yet somehow.
Well, other people, are you getting that, Gene? Are you guys getting the distortion?
No.
No,
can you hear
I'm
me?
Not.
Okay. It's Jim. He's in New Jersey. He's near Pine Barrens. You ever go down to Pine Bluffs, Pine Barren, that Alan Cabal writes about?
Pine Barrens. Alan Cabal, that's it.
Listen, I'll
you
say this.
Down?
I
used to live there.
Whatever I've
Who
done,
did?
If I've done
Who
it,
said that? Who said they used to live
my,
there?
It is so strong. It is so strong that I must insist upon my dropping out of the situation because I'm just going
to
embarrass
listen
myself
to other
by
people.
Talking.
Hey, Gene, tell them that you're
I'm hearing
translate.
Intonations, Bob. Intonations,
yeah. Gene,
I'm hearing.
Translate me, Gene, to him. See if he can hear you.
I forgot his name. Gatorhead.
Can you hear me, Jim?
Zimbabwe.
Somehow
Zimbabwe.
I think that
can you
was
hear
Gene.
Me better?
I think that was Gene.
Yes.
What, you want to try hanging up and calling back in? Because I think the reception is your yours on your end.
Jean, I cannot make out a word you're saying, but I know you are Jean.
Call back. Call back.
Yeah. Hey, maybe I should do that. Maybe I should hang up and, yeah.
Yeah.
Why didn't I think of this before? Excuse me.
Yeah. Okay, I'm muting.
Yay.
He's gone. Okay, what were we talking about before we were rudely interrupted by Nicky Hopkins? Well, that was good, Nicky Hopkins. I mean, Dylan and everything, but what were we doing before that? We were doing the music.
We shared Carolyn's Tetrad from way back when.
Right.
Where monogamy flips into a police state.
Right. Okay, well, let's...
Synchronicity number 7, New York is not a city in North America.
Right, okay, let's carry on. That's what we'll do. Oh, I got to make the... okay. All right, so here is Mike Dyer.
Whatever happens in New York City does not apply to the rest of the country. You know, Archie Bunker was not a North American.
Was it going to fall off?
No.
Oh, it's just going to fester on the East Coast?
That's right. Just wither away over a long period of time.
Did your co-host have a nice visit to New York?
Yes, he did. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I think I've had my share. It's hard to get into this show. It used to be easy. Now it's hard to get a line in.
You remember the little people, Edward.
Yeah, but we remember the early donators. He's gone.
Okay, yeah.
Any more calls?
Yeah, I've got two.
Susanna, you lived in Pine Barrens?
No, Sarah, I did. I mean, I lived near there in South Jersey.
Why were you up there?
My father worked in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. So,
my brother crashed. What? Oh, Alan Cabal lived there?
Yeah, and he writes about the monsters there.
Oh, yeah, the Jersey Devil. Yep, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your brother crashed there?
My brother crashed an F-4 jet nose down into the Pine Barrens and started a huge forest fire. And parachuted out.
Wow.
Yeah, he parachuted. He and his co-pilot parachuted out.
Have you guys ever heard of the Bob Dobbs cult in there, in the these weird physicists from Yale? I'll have to post that. Yeah, there's a whole Bob Dobbs mythology that maybe was created by Peter Lamont Wilson about that area. And Pam Wall discovered it, and she wanted to talk to me about it. We talked about it, and then shortly after that, she went AWOL. She got negative about all of us and complained that I was listening, that you couldn't have a session without me listening. She objected to that.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Well, who's the guy who did A Christmas Story?
Charles
Dickens? No. I mean the movie, the goofy little movie. Let me look and see.
You mean that Jack guy?
Gene Shepard. He had a show called Palm Court in Jersey. It was just a local show. He was a comedian. So funny. He wrote that movie, A Christmas Story, you know, where the kid gets the BB gun? And
when did he live? Are you talking about the 80s and 90s?
Yeah, that movie came out in 83, it says.
I missed him. See, there's a famous guy, Gene Shepard, did the radio show in New York that McLuhan writes about.
Oh, really? I wonder if it's the same guy. I don't know.
Yeah, well, not the same guy, son. Not the same guy.
Oh.
Gene Shepard's in the 50s and 60s.
Oh, yes, right.
He was a famous broadcaster. Told stories every night.
This guy had a show like that, and he would tell stories, funny stories, and he always talked about the Jersey Devil and the Pine Barrens and stuff like that. But the Pine Barrens are beautiful. I spent a lot of time there hiking.
Okay. Well, that's very good. Maybe we'll find out. Maybe he took the name Gene Shepard and he was trying to imitate Gene Shepard. It wasn't his real name.
I'm going to look him up.
Yeah.
Go on.
Okay, we're going to just go back a bit and get what they were saying lately. Sorry, being delayed here.
Co-host, who without her, he'd be nothing.
That's right. And also remember, New York is not a North American city. New York is something else. It's not the archetypal American kinetic bias city. It's an international solar government kind of operation. So whatever happens in New York City does not apply to the rest of the country. You know, Archie Bunker was not a North American.
Was it going to fall off?
No.
Oh, it's just going to fester on the East Coast?
That's right. Just wither away over a long period of time.
Did your co-host have a nice visit to New York?
Yes, he did. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I think I've had my share. It's hard to get into this show. It used to be easy. Now it's hard to get a line in.
You remember the little people, Edward Lewis.
Yeah, but we remember the early donators. He's gone.
Okay, yeah.
Any more calls?
Yeah, I've got two calls lined
great
up, so we'll go right to that.
Yeah.
Okay. You're listening to CKLN 88.1 in Toronto. Hello.
Satisfied.
Hello.
Yo.
The other guy was right. There is no earpiece there.
No, okay. There isn't. I
have to turn my radio off. I'm a new caller.
Great.
And I did happen to hear the show on Ben Brandt, the show on CBC there a couple of nights ago there. It totally surprised me because I wasn't used to that type of formatting on Brent's show. And the question I had, I guess, I should direct it towards Mr. Dobbs there.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm not that familiar with the tetrads or the pinks or any of the terminology that you use, although when I was listening to Brent, I'm not sure whether or not he's familiar with any of these things. It seemed to follow and flow nicely.
Yeah, he didn't, but he did a marvelous idea of faking understanding.
I sort of had an idea of what was going on, but is it something that's easily picked up, or is there a book on all this? Or?
Yeah, if you look in this magazine, do you know that magazine comes out of Toronto?
No, I've never heard of it.
Okay, it's on the stands. You know, it's one of these Canada Council left progressive kind of magazines.
Can I interject and say it's not on the stands anymore? There's another issue that's displaced it.
We can go to the library, though.
Yeah.
I'm just generally describing the magazine. This magazine used to be called This Magazine's About Schools in the late 60s. One of their first issues featured an interview with McLuhan, and then in 68 they had a regular column by his son Eric McLuhan, but they dropped the phrase about schools and it's continued as This Magazine all the way through the 70s into the 80s. And Rick Salutin is one of the main figureheads around it. You go to the library, look up the September issue, okay, of This Magazine a couple months ago, and you'll see a picture of me and my spouse, Connie, holding up two books. You'll see Connie holding Laws of Media by Marshall McLuhan and his son, Eric.
Right.
Go to the library. That book is the originator of the tetrad pattern. That's where you begin. The other book I was holding up was called Dope Incorporated, put out by Lyndon LaRouche and his cohorts in Leesburg, Virginia. You can't get that in a library, but you can go to the Metro Library and read his magazine, The Campaigner. So what you got to do is study LaRouche and McLuhan, and they're opposites. They're incompatible and complementary. Now, if you want to call the LaRouche organization, you call 703-777-9401 if you want to buy a copy of Dope Incorporated. But that's up to you.
Okay.
Okay, now, that's the rearview mirror interval activity between Wednesdays, you do that. But while we're here on the show, if you're a true sub-genius, you'll be able to make sense with me in any form you want right now. So take it away.
Well, the other question I had had to do with a novelist by the name of Jane Roberts, who I'd read with a channeler, and I'd read some of her stuff. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it or not.
The Seth material.
Yeah, what are your opinions of that? Like, how does that affect what you do on the radio? Have you ever given any thought to that?
Oh, yeah, that fits into my High Weirdness by Mail chart, which is in a book called High Weirdness by Mail, page 147. You'll see that after TV, you had the computer ground, then the satellite ground. Now, during the satellite ground, when the electric environment was motivated around a satellite TV, computer, radio, mixed corporate media interplay, this burst through the solar. Electric discarnate matrix we're all inhabiting, then channeling became a common phenomenon since, say, the late 60s into the 70s, and became a battle in the 80s between Rampton, Shirley MacLaine, and people like that. That old universal psychic internal plane that channelers manifest is now a regular content of our collective consciousness, electrically extended. So channeling is common now. The thing is that I feature a channeler here that you heard earlier called the Exless. I called the Exus, and he channels the alien intelligence, the actual grouping from booties that are appearing here also physically. So you could say the aliens landed inside this guy's head. the channel for the exorcist, as well as creating the crop circles around the planet. So we feature the best channeler, the most scientific, the most artistic, and the most media comprehensive. And that's here. So I'm not too impressed with the other channelers because they're more symptoms and syndromes and effects of the hidden causes of the electric merging of our collective consciousness extension. And now we're into the level of the second coming, which is a time of many retrievals in the global Phoenix theater.
Well, following along the lines of a collective consciousness, wouldn't it be safe to assume that everyone on this planet and other planets in the universe would be part of that same collective consciousness?
Yes, electrically we are now in touch.
And what level comes after that, let's say?
Slack. In other words, an awareness of the ramifications, like that earlier caller from Alberta asked, what are the ramifications of what I said on CBC? The ramifications are to understand me and understand the implications of the fact that collective consciousness is an immediate cliche and extended. That is our job. That's your job. And it'll manifest politically, economically, sociologically, erotically, in all levels.
So you're finding right now that, I'm not familiar with the term that you use, but you're saying that right now we're in a state of, electronic and satellite sort of programming. It takes place in our everyday life sort of thing. It's influencing everything we do, basically.
Yeah, we take drugs privately to program our old body, just as we collectively program ourselves with the collective mixed corporate media interplay. We program ourselves daily. This creates a very strange situation, a new form of motivated somnambulist. And the only way to get a perspective on that and retrieve your private sigil of awareness is to understand me.
So I see. Do you follow Timothy Leary at all then, in any of his findings and results with the humans as a general going towards a higher level of consciousness in the sense of the computer sort of generated it? Technology, I guess?
No, he's a motivated somnambulist. He was a figurehead in the psychedelic period, and that's on my chart in the High Weirdness by Mail. The psychedelia was a syndrome, a figure over from the ground of the computer, and that's why he surfaced in the 80s addicted to the computer image, because he was merging with the old body and programming it privately with chemicals in the 60s. Now he programs himself with the computer, and the irony is the computer was the hidden ground for the preference for psychedelics in the 60s. So Tim Leary is a figure merged with the ground. Have any proper interplay in a figure ground gestalt pattern. So Tim Leary,
Well, thanks a lot. And as you said, I guess there are lots of articles in which I can pick up and follow up on things like the Tatras. And like I said, I wasn't familiar with any of the terminology. I hear the show every once in a while when I'm driving, but I never am able to leave it on the station long enough to follow what's going on just because I don't know what's happening to begin with.
Well, now that you've interacted, it's your responsibility to be here every 2 weeks because that's when understanding is manifested.
Okay, well,
and
great.
You can help it.
Oh, well, thanks a lot. And okay. Thank you, Mike, as well, I guess.
Thanks for coming.
Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Okay. It's interesting, actually, that we do recommend not to operate heavy machinery while listening to the show.
Yeah,
so
that
call, you should drive if you're listening to the show.
So maybe that's why Dave has stopped his car.
He did. Two things. I just want to interject. We do have a call waiting, but just wait one more second. I mentioned to you that I got a letter from Ivan Stang.
Listen to this, folks. We got a letter from Stang.
Two things I wanted to mention. One was, I don't know if you've seen this magazine called Interview Magazine.
Andy Warhol?
I don't know. This is more recent.
Well, I saw he was in Interview Magazine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Stang was. That's Warhol's magazine. He was in it. Yeah, that looks like it.
Just to comment on it, there's a... It's a question-answer interview thing. So it's they talk here about the death of Bob, the assassination of Bob. Is anybody taking Bob's place? Does he have a successor? Oh, no. No, Bob's already back. He was killed, but he has returned.
There's the proof.
So there's Stang himself now beginning to weaken on his position that you are not Bob.
Because I'm back.
I mean, interviewer.
He had to assassinate me to explain my absence,
okay.
And I claimed I'm back, and he's admitting it.
The interviewer. Physically? I think so. We're not sure. I know that he returned physically at least 4 times. But every time he returns from the grave, some subgenius takes him up on his dare of, kill me. He seems to say that a lot. Why does he want to be killed so much? I think he's trying to deprogram his followers. He doesn't want them to fixate on him. And he's willing to sacrifice himself to prevent them from turning him into another Jesus or Muhammad or even Buddha.
Yeah.
So, that's from that interview. But just on a personal note, he's talking about his own program, The Hour of Slag, which is now syndicated on 10 radio stations throughout the U.S.
Yeah, there's a number.
And he says here, By the way, doesn't Bob owe me at least a tape or two of this McLuhan Bob thing he does, which I keep hearing about? I've only heard copies sent me by people who think I should sue him. Actually, I like his routine very much, although it's plain to anyone who knows Dobbs. But this glib fellow couldn't possibly be the easygoing dumbass who is the one true Bob. So there, that's the saying. Line that, you know,
I'm too smart to be Bob. He's
thrown out of the past.
Yeah. He's saying I'm too smart. Now, the point is when you live in Dallas for many years, which I did with him, you get rather dumb because of that environment there, the karma from the JFK assassination. So I might have looked a little slow around with him in the late 70s. He never was fully cognizant of the smart Bob. So that's my answer. Send that, you subgenius kinks out there, tape it, send it to him, and let's hear from his lawyer.
Keep him happy. Okay, we got two lines up. So we've got about 25 minutes left in the show, and just a reminder that if you are a first-time caller, you have to listen to your radio. We haven't quite overcome the technology yet. Hello, C. Kalen.
Hello.
Hi.
Scott, how you doing, Mike? How you doing?
Oh, good, Scott. Hi.
You've been leaving some good messages.
Okay, so are we going to end the show in 10 minutes? Has everybody had their limit, or do you want to go another hour?
Wow, another hour.
I could go another hour. Now I'm awake.
Another hour is pretty extreme.
I was thinking of playing the debate between me and Stang in April 88.
Oh,
would that be interesting?
I will listen. I have to probably be busy doing some multitasking, if you don't mind.
Right. Maybe we did find, you're saying seven, like you're saying, what, five from last week and just two? We did more than two today, didn't we?
No, seven so far this morning.
Seven today plus the five or so last week.
Yes, this is just the count
wow.
This morning.
That's pretty good.
Kevin Sinocrity.
Yeah, yeah.
And two questions answered that Bob has had for a long time.
Yes. And what were they? Android Meme, the band, the Android Meme, and the second one had something to do with Ed Walker.
I think Ed Walker is an alumnus of an art school.
Right.
His teacher.
Yeah, Morris Wolf. Yeah, things I was thinking about the last week.
You know, I'd vote against doing Stang. He's such a downer. I do him in the middle of the show, so then you can bring the show up afterwards. But to end the show with Stang, I don't think so.
There's Connie's opinion.
If only he would respond.
We need those guys.
What?
I wish he would respond in some way.
No,
yes,
we don't need
another message. We left a message. But what'd you say, Roxy?
They're very obsolete. I think you should move on.
We don't need them.
They should move on or we should move on?
We don't need them.
Did you say, Roxy, we should move on? You want me to move on?
Yeah, move away from them. Drop them.
Yeah.
I did that years ago. I'm not involved with them. But
we don't need them.
I must keep dancing on their toes. Anyways. Well, there's no public support for the play. Let's fucking play it anyways.
Well, what's the debate, Bob? What's the debate? Is it just you and Stang bashing at each other?
Let's start it right now. We'll start.
They should respond.
Your many deaths and your resurrections. Your resurrections.
If he doesn't respond.
Going over the timeline, we'll start it. And we can vote after 7 minutes of it or something, what we think. All right? Yeah, we got enough synchronicities for this week, so that's done. So I go down to April 13th, 1987, and June. It must be March. What? We don't have it. Jesus. That makes sense. No, it's 88. Right, it's 88. Ah, we caught Connie where her real loyalties are. Caught her out. That's what I have to put up with. This fucking double agent aspect. Okay, so there, so that has to be April 13th. It was this is in the afternoon. I did it in the afternoon with Mike from June until April, and then we ended the afternoon on April 20th, Hitler's birthday. So this is the week before. So we click this on, and we bring up the sound, the noise, release that.
Afternoon, but 10 minutes to 4 o'clock, and as I mentioned earlier, for the earlier experience here, you are wherever else your voice is being projected, and it could be
claimed to be bad.
Okay.
The government and the powers which control this planet, that would have been the Secret Council of 10 then, and I was on that council. The government and the powers which control this planet, that would planet as having had human or anthropoid influence upon it for many millions of years, that the influence of humans upon this planet has been approximately 13 million years.
During the Bill Simmons.
Some new secret files, which is possible because of my head of the Secret Council, Tim. I began with this file 2 weeks ago.
Can you just move forward here?
These aliens were of both sexes and a few subgenius, which consist when certain tribes began to migrate from the Earth to other.
I know.
Gene. That is one of my comment on this. He was aware of this. And not wanting the masses of geniuses, really, to become aware of such, these people were not likely to allow Von Daniken, Bob indicated, or any others to proceed very far in their efforts to expose these areas. So Bob indicated that the entity Von Daniken, if pursuing this course, should be most cautious and release information secretly, which may later be publicized to the masses. He indicated, for example, photographs and exact coordinates which could be released simultaneously to the masses, but whereby no previous mention of such action should
heard about kill your crops for Jesus.
No. Look at me, I think it's someone upstairs, and why don't we put the subgenius tape on for a little interval while we work out? Okay, we're going to feature some of Stang's material.
That'd be a good way of segueing into Ivan Stang. So we're going to play a little bit of the subgenius tape, which we've been playing for almost 10 months now, and then we'll come back and hopefully be able to call Ivan Stang at church headquarters in Dallas.
Yes, and this was, what I just read was a secret file from 1983, and if I stay on the air with any other programmer, then these files will continue to be released. But at this point, we have to deal with Ivan Stang.
Hello. I called in a little while ago, and I just wondered if you'd all heard about Kill Your Crops for Jesus.
No.
It's a calendar we put out. And we're trying to get things going in the right direction.
Is it illustrated?
Oh, no.
Oh, I see. It's just
Yeah. There's nobody to worship me. Nobody to adore me. Portion of our program we call Dead Air.
Came to Toronto, I guess, many months ago now, and claimed to be Bob with some skepticism. Oh, you've had more then, have you?
Never believe that this whack job called Zimbabwe is Gatorhead.
All participants are now muted.
came to Toronto, I guess, many months ago now, and claimed to be Bob. With some skepticism, I welcomed him into the studio, and he's...
Oh, another one, eh?
Oh, you've had more then, have you?
Oh, but between ever since Bob's alleged assassination, we've had so many people come forward claiming to be his heirs, his bastard sons, wanting to know about the will. We've had thousands claim to be Bob. But what I want to know is this is, Bob, where's my money?
Bob, do you have any comments on it? Years since September 17th, 1982, since we last talked. I've watched your meteoric rise in the alternative media, and I guess it's time for you to be dismissed from your activities, since any money you make is not going to do anything with my control of the Secret Council.
You claim to be Bob himself?
Listen, Ivan, Doug, we know. And you know, and yet, well, look, do you agree that you are in Dallas and in Toronto at the same time right now?
My vocalizations coming from the Stang entity may be heard in both places, yes.
And anywhere else?
Only Bob is everywhere at once.
Yeah, now you follow... Now listen, you just said, now remember, this is a calm debate. Now let me have my piece. This is not crossfire on CNN or any of those debate shows. Now look, you just said Bob is everywhere. Under electronic conditions, we are everywhere. Satellites can pick us up and broadcast us everywhere. So you're not only in Dallas and here, you are wherever else your voice is being projected. And it could be myriad of places on the planet under satellite conditions. That's right, different dimensions. I've talked about this often on the show. Now, I call this state discarnate, a disembodied intelligence, all right? Now, this can only happen when you're live on the air. It only happens passively when you're not listening, when you're not using the electric media, and that includes the telephone. So, you say Bob is everywhere, then...